What is up, crew and fine peoples of the internet? It is it's Wednesday, time for a little Next Generation, and got to finish up here. We started the positives and negatives of video games last week. We started with the negatives, and unfortunately spent the entire show plus a little bit talking about that. So to be fair, we have to cover the positives this week. So it should be fun. As always, we are broadcasting live on the YouTubes here and simulcast over on gunchannels.com. Let me drop the link on the YouTube side for Gun Channels, because you definitely want to go check that out. Much better place to hang out, I think, than the YouTubes is. So give that a whirl. Speaking of the Gun Channel side, looks like Pants, No, Michael G, and Blue Phoenix hanging out over there. And, of course, on the YouTubes with the notifications and everything else, everybody's starting to trickle in here. Gunpowder looks like was first. Too Hot A, the 1%, William, Don Brown, Grimm, and Mr. Zippy. And they're starting to come in. Speaking of those notifications, and I'll probably announce it for after hours tomorrow night, but working on a potential way for those interested and willing to get a little better notifications for things that go on. Vandal in the house, how are you? Actually, hang on just a minute here, because I actually had a... I've got a guest here that is asking for a link. So let me go take care of him real quick. So bear with me.
Don't even feel special. I'm not getting taken care of at all.
Yeah, I mean, where's my special?
Yeah, but see, I didn't forget you guys.
I take it for granted.
You know,
you are getting taken care of, though. You live in a kick, you know, an awesome van. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I wish I could live in a van.
Yeah.
I gotta say something about your intro music. Every time I hear that particular song, it reminds me of Beverly Hills 90210. I was like, oh man. Yep.
It's like Beverly Hills mixed with Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, then it's a pretty good one for.
Are you on your phone, Ghost?
I am, yeah.
Okay, because I just staged the. When Clover plays that song, it's in the start with Clover closing his locker, and then he looks over, and then you're opening the door from the ice dance, and then it pans over, and then Tardot like drives up his bike into the bike rack and looks up, and then every time it's like with Clover, and then at the end it goes, it says, and special guest Chesma, and then he's sitting there laughing at some joke off screen.
Okay. You're giving me ideas.
You're giving
here.
Way too much thought to this, G. I'm just saying.
It just happens. Every time that song plays, I just see like y'all at some high school, like coming into school one day.
Right.
That's too good.
That's horrible. Totally horrible. So
I like
okay.
it. I think we should do that. That's a thing we should do.
Right.
Well, next time we're all together, we can film something like that.
Oh, dude, what you thought about? Remember.
Well, we don't have to wait that long. We could just all shoot like a bit of it and then cut it together.
Remember that show 24? How it would be like?
Yeah.
And they'd show like weird screenshots and like show like where everybody was at in the like spot or whatever. One year at SHOT, we were trying to come up with something different, and we went around filming all kinds of things so that we could do like a 24 themed,
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Theme to all of our videos that year. But yeah, we should do that. Like film a bunch of different things so that you can have intros that include everybody.
Yeah, just all you have to do. You could probably do that. You'd probably do that with a lot of the cut B-roll footage.
Yeah, that you already took. Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody sure. Throws B-roll up onto a server somewhere and let everybody go at it with the editors.
Right. Yeah, that would be kind of cool. So, let's run this through the panel, and then we'll get the party started. Tardot's in the house. How are you, Tar?
Oh, doing pretty good. Just listening in to all these great ideas. But, thanks for having me.
Bet. Chelsma, what's happening, bud? Okay, he's muted or?
Just here for the money. Just here for the future.
He got his appearance fee and left.
That's all. He's just self-promoting. You know how it is. You know how it is with those gelsmas. Okay, moving on. Matt, Mr. Karma, what's up, bud?
I try to eat 3 square meals a day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. G-Webs in the house. How are you, G?
I'm here for the audience, and I just want to let the audience know. Clover, real person. Ghost, real person. Gelsma, real person. Tardot, human being verified. 50 could easily be an enhanced computer simulation.
I am just a very, very good bot.
Right there. Would a bot tell you it's a bot? Maybe, if it's trying to make you think it's not a bot. Everybody else verified.
Right. Well, then you come out to this Docton gun show next time. I don't have money or an awesome band to be traveling around.
G-Webs doesn't own enough guns to go to the Stockton gun show.
Hey, yeah, I bet
he does.
Well, the question is, does he own enough California-approved guns?
Right.
Well, that's a whole different issue.
Ghost with us. How are you, Ghost?
I'm going to take a little different approach than 50 caliber Karma. I discriminate against 3 square meals. I eat 3 round meals a day.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because we've got to be careful about not assuming one's geometry. So just keep that in mind. Drudge is with us. How are you, bud?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. And for those that do not know, is Drudge okay, or, you know, what do you want to go by? Okay.
That's been my gamer tag for, I don't know, 10 years, so.
Okay.
It's appropriate.
Okay. No, that's fine. Well, you know, I don't want to assume your, call sign, so.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to give his identity away either.
Right. Yeah. Well, he had the camera on when he first came in. So,
yeah,
let's jump into this and get the party started here. Now, at the end of last week, when we went through all the negatives, kind of teased everybody with the bullet points, more or less, of the positives here. And I've got 25 on this list. Let me grab this is a very long link, and I don't know. We can try to post that over on the YouTubes and the gun channels. It will probably work from the gun channel side. Doubtfully works from the YouTube side, but I think CycleCamp says copy paste it, use the backspace. MyStrike says copy paste it, use the hashtag.
Hashtag works. Work.
So yeah. So if you want to follow along, that's fine. I will go ahead just for replay or podcast purposes or whatever. And, this was an article, when was this written? Actually March 18th of this year, by a gentleman, Ronaldo Tumbokin. And it is from the raysmartkids.com website, 25 positive and negative effects of video games. So that should give you plenty enough, Google foo there. If you want to look this up later, it's a really interesting read. I highly suggest you go read it. But we will dive in here with, and these are in no certain order, of course, but it says, some of the main benefits of playing video games involve enhancing mental skills. And this includes, in number one here, what we'll do is try to figure out the proper method to maybe attack this. I may go through and may run through about 5 of these bullet points or so. I don't want to go through all of them because that's going to potentially dilute the conversation. So I may run through about 5 or so of them, and then we'll kind of run it through the room and talk about the ones that I mentioned. But number one on the list here says problem solving and logic. This is when a child plays a game such as The Incredible Machine, Angry Birds, or The Cut Rope. So he trains his brain to come up with creative ways to solve puzzles and other problems in short bursts. The second is hand-eye coordination, fine motor skills, and spatial skills. And we talked about that on the negative side with the potential of maps and games and stuff like that. not really promoting those spatial skills, but it says in shooting games, the character may be running and shooting at the same time. This requires the real-world player to keep track of the position of the character, where he or she is heading, the speed, where the gun is aiming, if the gunfire is hitting the enemy, so on and so forth. All of these factors need to be taken into account, and then the player must then coordinate the brain's interpretation and reaction with the movement in his hands and fingertips. This process requires a great deal of hand-eye coordination and a visual spatial ability to be successful. So his research also suggests that people can learn iconic spatial and visual attention skills from video games. There have even been studies with adults showing that experience with video games is related to better surgical skills. Also, a reason given by experts as to why fighter pilots of today are more skillful in this generation's pilots are brought up in the world of video games. Oh, interesting there. And then number three is planning, resource management, and logistics. So the player learns to manage resources that are limited and decide the best use of resources the same way as in real life. This skill is honed in strategy games such as SimCity, Age of Empires, Railroad Tycoon, etc. So it's notably the American Planning Association, the Trade Association of Urban Planners, and Maxis, the game's creator, have claimed that SimCity has inspired a lot of its players to take a career in urban planning and architecture. So that's three there, and I'll go over them real quick again. That's problem solving and logic, hand-eye coordination, fine motor skills, fine motor and spatial skills, pardon me, planning, resource management, and logistics. Let's we'll burn this through the room real quick. Tardot, any thoughts on those particular three?
I agree with all of that. Especially, you know, you were talking about like with the fighter pilots. I could definitely see that, especially when you look at a lot of flight sims. Yeah, you know, back in the day, I used to play some of those, especially the fighter pilot sims, and while you may not be doing all the same things you're going to be doing in a jet, it does teach you a little more on how to read, because you usually would use like a HUD, a heads-up display, things like that, and to teach you how to read that. It also teaches you kind of the controls to a point, you know, where up is down and down is up and the inverted controls. So I could see a lot of that actually being beneficial to the youth, especially if they're looking for a career in certain things where some of these games are a little more detailed on how to actually do those things.
Right. Jelsma, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of just touch on what Tardot was saying with the kind of recognition of objects. If we talk about shooting games, you know, obviously weapon changes and stuff like that, they're going to recognize these and have a familiarity with a weapons platform or system, so they kind of get some knowledge on that. Or if we look on the other side of that, driving games, shift points, flying games, heads up displays, it just increases the mental acuity. So I'm going to really agree with that video games can be positive if used in the right aspect.
Mm-hmm. And Link out there makes a point that video games tend to get guns and firearms far more exposure to young people, you know, get them interested than the NRA does. I don't know. I mean, we're not necessarily speaking to, you know, how video games relate to the Second Amendment and stuff. I think that is somewhat a valid point, but we also got to keep it in more of a realistic realm, because video games, you don't have certain safety precautions and things like that. Manipulation of a slide, safeties, muzzle awareness, it being a virtual world, there's still room for that hands-on approach, I think. Matt, got anything to add?
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, each of the bullet points made their point pretty well. They made sense. I mean, the hand-eye coordination is self-evident. You know, you have to use tiny, minute movements of your hands to control your character, and, you know, I can see that helping with surgery a lot, because that is also very small, fine motor skills. I mean, you do have that problem with it doesn't teach muzzle awareness and safety manipulation and all that. And, yeah, I mean, but it does open the door. It's something right. They might become interested in.
Yeah, it sparks that interest, and that's what Link was getting at, I think, more than anything. Gee, you started to chime in when they were talking about the fighter pilot thing. So you got.
So I don't agree. I don't want to upset anybody with precious video games. I don't have a problem with them, but what's the alternative? Going around in real life and having BB gun wars, or going hunting, or, you know, doing stuff in real life with having to communicate with real people and challenges of, like, that one kid who's a jerk, or that one kid who can do everything better than everybody, and you know, that's the alternative. So the time that your kids are spending fiddling with their thumbs in front of a TV is time that they're not fostering real social stuff out there. So again, I'm not saying the video games are bad or whatever, they're horrible, but they're not the savior of all mankind. We don't have ultimate soldiers now because of video games. As far as the pilots being better now than in the olden days, I think that could be just as easily attributed to planes being a billion times better. Instead of having to deal with turning, you know, the plane has wire, fly by wire, and now the pilot can be worrying about three steps ahead in the dogfight. I think that there's more influence than just maybe they played video games. Again, there's definitely simulators. I don't disagree with those points, but I didn't grow up with video games and I don't play them, so I'm not beholden to their, you know, whatever.
So I didn't know that G's option was an option, so I want on his boat.
Playing in real life?
Yeah, I think that's so much more important than sitting in front of a TV. But I was kind of just trying to address the positives of actual video games. But as far as a standpoint, like, my kid plays with other kids. He doesn't play with a tablet, where other kids are playing with tablets and smartphones. My kid's driving a tractor around. Like, he's 3 years old, and he's learning life skills that no other kid is going to ever have at their age. So why aren't we just kind of adjust to where kids are actually getting social skills instead of independent technological skills?
And I'm not going to say video games is root of all evil either or anything, but then as far as firearms, NRA and video games, NRA doesn't ever have you kill a prostitute and give you points for it.
It's true. This is true. Yeah, it's the difference between a virtual world and a realistic world. And that was one of the negatives we covered last week. Talked about how that one of the negatives, it can affect them as far as being able to distinguish, you know, fantasy from reality. So,
all right, G, you're going to need to step back. You had the chance to be on the negative side, bud. We're talking about good things today. Your negativity in here.
He's fine. I mean, it's good that we pointed out. We pointed out positives last week as we was talking about the negatives. We had some of the
we were just pointing out negative negatives. All right.
Well,
we were being negative to the negatives.
But two negatives make a positive, right? So let's bring Ghost in. You got any thoughts, Ghost, on those three?
Yeah, I've got a couple things. I'm going to go by some of the stuff that I play. Some first-person shooter games. I play a lot of Rainbow Six Siege, and I used to play a lot of Call of Duty. And as far as communication, if you play online, you do, especially like Rainbow Six and all that, you actually work as a squad. So I think it does help with the communication side of things. You know, for the people that aren't going to spend their time outdoors playing with other kids, if they play online, it does somewhat kind of help a communication skill. They are having to talk to other people to get a goal achieved. As far as like a flight simulator thing, I think that is kind of helpful. I did flight simulator for a while, and because I was really interested in flying, but I wanted to know the kind of the basics and all of that, and it did help. I think a game like Minecraft, you know, my daughter used to play that quite a bit in high school. I think that there is something for like civil engineering. I think some of buildings and communities and all that, there are certain aspects I think that could help in the mind organizing different visuals into an actual concept. So I think there are, when it comes to communication, there are some good things about communicating. Like we're talking about kids that probably aren't ever going to play outdoors with other kids. So if they're not going to do that, and they are going to play video games, then the communication side with talking to other people online is communicating still. It might not be face-to-face, but they are still communicating. So I do think that there are some positives to it.
I didn't realize we were supposed to be doing the positives, so I could see a positive where if you live remotely, if your kid lives in the middle of nowhere, or the people around you are jerks, at least you get to choose the people you're going to hang out with online.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what happened, Jay, is last week, we were going to cover this whole thing last week, and we spent an entire hour. Of course, we spent 27 minutes now on three bullet points, three of 25. But last week, we spent the entire hour plus, you know, talking about the negatives. And it was a back and forth. There's nothing wrong, even though we're you know, kind of focused on the positives right now and kind of getting those out there. There's nothing wrong with, you know, bringing up some of those negatives because, you know, hey, you know, it, I think with, as with just about anything, the key, and that's pretty much what we left, where we left it last week was, you know, even though there are negatives and there are positives, I think moderation's key. And as a parent, knowing what your kids are up to and doing, even with video games and stuff is important. Drudge, bring you in here. What are your thoughts so far?
Well, I have some ideas on all three of them. Like Ghost was saying about Minecraft, you can actually build computers and use them in Minecraft, which is kind of engineering genius. When I was in the police academy, we used a shooting simulator for like a crisis response. I play a lot of games. The main one I've been playing lately is Zelda, and that really hits on topic three, resource management. And go back to when you were talking about the NRA never giving points for killing hookers. I don't know if they've ever publicly announced it, but, I mean, maybe they could have.
Right.
But, you know, I've been playing shooting games of Grand Theft Auto since I was, I don't know, 14, 15, whenever it came out. I've never wanted to just go somewhere and kill somebody because I saw it on a video game. I don't know too many people that have. I don't know how true it is. I heard it, I think, on the internet, and we all know everything on the internet's true. The guy from, or one of the guys from Columbine, had only ever played Sonic the Hedgehog. Which, unless he's jumping on robots, it's not really violent.
Right. And I read that too, back, you know, back during that time, that was when the really big kick about video games are evil. You know, that's Columbine's what kind of brought that out. And so, I've read that too, that his game of choice, whatever, was Sonic the Hedgehog. So I don't know how much actual violence is, you know, I've played Sonic many, many a time. I didn't see it as that violent of a game. But,
oh, no, not at all.
The Tactical Snowman has joined us. What's up, Smeggy?
Hey, how's it going?
Are you up to speed? Do you want to jump in here or kind of wait till the next round? Or how you want?
Yeah, well, I missed a little bit of it, but I was listening a little bit before you sent me the link. And thank you for that, by the way. But one of the things I heard some of you guys mention was like the communication aspect of video games and socializing kids or whatever. You know, I remember I played quite a bit in college. I was actually kind of a professional gamer, although I never really raised much money. I just won a couple tournaments. But anyways, it was a team-based game, and we had, you know, practices every week and, you know, a scheduled match at a certain time and all this and that, and the organization that it takes to do all that and the communication part of it. My mom would always be like, who are you talking to? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm talking to my friends. And to be honest, it's a lot like these hangouts. I consider all you guys here friends, even though some of you I've only met once or twice in real life. Some of you I've never met, but you have that connection. You can learn how to communicate with people.
Careful, like, some of these people can't be verified.
Well, that's true, but the ones that are verified have been very nice to me when I met them in person. And some of these people who are verified slept on my floor. So,
anyways, the point of it is, you got to remember that robots can be dangerous.
Yeah, they probably can. But then, video game is training to defeating robots. Then, right?
Well, I mean, there's
probably a game about that.
Now, see, that's the trick is, the video game is run by the robot. So it's not really the robot training you to defeat the robot. They're making you think that.
Oh, they're giving you false weaknesses?
Yeah.
That's discovering your weaknesses, bolstering your confidence.
Just keep in mind, when we're dealing with the robots, as long as we control the batteries, we're good.
That is true.
Can't survive without the batteries.
Yeah, until they turn us into the batteries.
Batteries are the key.
Well, that's true. So let's move on here. Let's cover a few more of these. Try to get this done. Number four on the list here: multitasking, simultaneous tracking of many shifting variables, and managing multiple objectives. This is in strategy games, for instance. Multitasking is what I get out of this. In the short, it says in strategy games, for instance, while developing a city, an unexpected surprise, like an enemy might emerge, this forces the player to be flexible and quickly change tactics.
Zerg Rush!
Right? Like Sim City when Godzilla comes out or something like that back in the old days. Yeah. And I know that we're talking... we mentioned Angry Birds earlier and some stuff like that. There's a lot of talk about the guns, a lot of talk about the violence, a lot of, whatever. And understand that this is in the context of overall in general, we're talking multiple age brackets. I mean, there's people that'll throw a tablet down in front of a 2-year-old. So, there's a lot to break down and digest when we're talking about this. So don't hyper focus just on the whole video games or violence issue. Number five says quick thinking, making fast analysis and decisions. So sometimes the player does this almost every second of the game, giving the brain a real workout. So according to researchers at the University of Rochester, a cognitive scientist said games simulating stressful events such as those found in battle or action games could be a training tool for real-world situations. The study suggests that playing action video games primes the brain to make quick decisions. Video games can be used to train soldiers and surgeons, according to the study. It says, importantly, decisions made by action-packed video game players are no less accurate. Action game players make more correct decisions per unit of time. It says, if you're a surgeon or you're in the middle of a battlefield, that can make all the difference.
I can see that as almost too, like trusting your instincts. You know, the brain takes in a lot of extra data that we don't consciously think about. But you know, like even like the little map on the side, or you see something happen, it just kind of flashes up on the screen, and you don't actually think about it. But your brain knows that there's a bad guy around the corner or something. Like it's able to make these decisions of, you know, spatial relations or different things. And then you just get the instinct, like, oh, I think there's someone over here. Right. Another example, it's not necessarily an action. I've been playing this game a lot recently where you're a little snake and you got to eat the little pellets or whatever, but if you run into someone, you die. It's kind of like the old school snake, but it's, like, different. Anyways, I get an instinct of if the dude's close enough to me or not. Like, if I turn, will I run into him? And I don't have time to sit there and calculate how many squares over and how much up and how fast he's going. I just know I can get him, or he's too close to me, I better go the other way.
Right. Yeah. Number six on the list here is accuracy. It says action games, according to the Rochester study, train the player's brain to make faster decisions without losing accuracy. And it actually hit on that up in the quick thinking bullet point. It says in today's world, it's important to move quickly without sacrificing accuracy. Number seven is strategy and anticipation, which again all goes back into the whole quick thinking, fast decision thing. Says Stephen Johnson, author of Everything Bad Is Good for You, how today's popular culture is actually making us smarter, calls this telescoping. Says the gamer must deal with immediate problems while keeping his long-term goals on the horizon. And I'm going to go on down and keep going here a little bit. because it all deals with this quick thinking, fast, accurate decisions, like Smeggy was talking about, anticipation and strategy. And number eight is situational awareness. It says Defense News reported that the Army include video games to train soldiers to improve their situational awareness in combat. Many strategy games also require the player to become mindful of sudden situational changes in the game and adapt accordingly. So, and we'll stop there because we get into some more Brainiac stuff from there. So let's run this through. We'll go backwards to the room, open this up for Judge. You got any thoughts on those points?
Sorry, I'm having technical difficulties again.
It's okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Okay.
Keep getting kicked out of the room. Now, all those points are pretty spot on. Trying to read over them again. I was messing with my phone when you were talking. So, well, like I said before, when I was in the police academy, we had that. So it's kind of apparent now that I've been a cop. A lot of this stuff actually helps me, I think. Multitasking, with video games, you have to do a lot of stuff without having to look at the controller. So you're pressing buttons and you have to know where it's at. It's the same thing in real life. If you think about it, you do the exact same thing when you're driving a car. You don't look at the blinker if you use it. You don't have to look and see where your windshield wiper is or the switch for it. You don't have to look and see where your gear shift is most of the time. Just anything like that, that's all multitasking. Video games just kind of help speed that up, I think. You know, practice makes perfect.
Right. Ghost, you think it's time the Marine Corps replaces PT with Sonic the Hedgehog or something?
No, I don't believe that. But what I will say is I'll say this. When we were there, we had a place out Camp Pillman called Combat Town. And it was basically Camp Pendleton built a town for us to go in and do room clearing and urban assaults, and we could go in and do hostage rescue and all this stuff. What I would say is, as much as that is good, there are days where, you know, there are other units want to do that, and so you won't be able to utilize that every time. But something like a video game scenario where even if you get into virtual reality type stuff, where I think it could do multitasking. I think that you could replace certain things and even military training with video games scenarios that could, it's better than doing nothing, I should say. You know, you can never replace the real thing, but why wouldn't they even look, you know, why wouldn't they look at some of those virtual reality video games to where you can still do video game scenarios, but you're working on real life tasks and all that stuff. But yeah, I think that multitasking video games and that aspect could be something that is valuable.
Right. G, bring you in here.
I kind of forgot what those specific points were, but you know, I'm sitting here. I don't really play video games that much.
Go over them again. Basically, it's about quick thinking and making fast, accurate decisions and strategy, anticipation, situational awareness.
I hear you, and I can't fault them because I don't play video games, and I'm not, you know, I'm trying to
stay positive.
I mean, my first reaction, I guess, honestly, is to think, what did they miss in there? I'm not a sports person, but baseball or volleyball or throwing a ball around or whatever you do as a kid, sports-wise, does all that stuff in real life, three-dimensional. You get hit in the face once in a while. You really learn, you know, how to catch stuff or how to throw or whatever. But I was going to say, the video games have had to change parenting because I can remember, you just didn't have that stuff. Now, every time I see a kid, they've got a video game in their hand. So if you're at a restaurant or if you're standing in line for auto parts, kids have these things. So that's got to be a positive to some extent, right? It's not like a TV where it's like, what are you going to watch, a half an hour TV show or a portion of it? Like, play 5 minutes of Tetris. Who cares? You know, there's no end or beginning to Tetris. You're just occupied.
Right.
Or Angry Birds, that's one of those that's not really like, you don't sit down for 7 hours to achieve levels, right? You're just playing the puzzles over and over.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that goes back into the whole moderation thing, too.
Well, I'm thinking, like, you know, you're at the waiting room because somebody's in the hospital and it's just not appropriate and the kid needs to be quiet and you don't have really, the, you know, 100% attention. Video games got to be awesome for that kind of stuff, or like a little iTablet or whatever the kid can play Tetris on.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, to keep them occupied.
I've been running around, you know, breaking things in the hospital and being a new...
Right, right. Matt.
All right, I, you know, actually, everything you say comes back to, I just beat a game called Far Cry. Far Cry 5 came out. And it's a first-person shooter, but there's also a lot of stealth elements and side missions and stuff. And everything you talked about, each of those points brought me back to a point in the game, but it also made me think of times that I've used those particular skills. And yes, my time as a soldier, but also like my everyday life, where I realized something was happening because it was sort of out of my peripherals, or the color was slightly off, or something that I had learned, you know, in my younger days playing a game. And each of those points, I think, stands. That every point there that you made instead stands on its own merits.
Right. Jelsma, jump in here.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of fall back on some of the training that I had in EOD. Is they put you in a room. Well, first, they put you in a room. They get you familiarized with the room for a minute. They take you out of the room. They change something. Then they put you back in the room, and you got to notice what's changed. It's the attention to detail that I think that a lot of kids who are extremely involved in these games, they tend to notice, versus the kids who are kind of involved in games. Attention to detail is really one of those things that I think a lot of our youth has lost. So I think that some of video games can actually give this attention to detail back. It may not be Sonic the Hedgehog, but it may be Echo the Dolphin.
Right. Smeggy, I know you... You made some good points earlier with it, but you got anything to add?
Yeah, that's the thing. So I kind of spoke out of turn. I didn't realize you were going to list a bunch of stuff. Then we could comment. So I apologize for the formatting error. But yeah, I mean, basically the whole decision making thing. You know, I did already say that. But something that Ghost touched on with the virtual reality thing. I just want to point out, I saw this product at SHOT Show this year that was, like, actual, you put on the virtual reality thing, and the controller, like, was an AR-15. So you actually get all the same manipulations that you would need to do, and then you, like, it's, there's cameras on you, and all you do is, like, turn around and, like, walk in place, and it walks you through the course and all that stuff. But that's definitely, you know, like, specifically training-type stuff. I think if we're just talking video games in general, then, yeah, there's plenty of stuff that just helps teach your mind how to problem solve and how to, you know, think quickly. But that also doesn't mean that I don't think, like, every video game's like that. Something that G-Wubs mentioned of the sitting in the waiting room just killing time or whatever. Those types of games, I mean, I guess they might, but a lot of times those are just kind of mindless stuff that, like, I don't know if you can necessarily say there's a benefit from that point of view.
But that's what we're getting.
And Angry Birds, I think doing little puzzles makes your brain think and do stuff.
And I think the next bullet points we get into is gonna kind of lead to that. And that's what I was fixing to say. Don't discount, because in this list, I mean, there's a lot of things in here dealing with, you know, puzzle games. Again, we get too hung up on the first person shooter, violence, stuff like that, and we don't look at the things when people say, well, video games are bad. Well, come on. I mean, being able to recognize patterns in Tetris quickly and rotate those shapes around like you need to do, and Angry Birds for as far as the trajectory, you know, that you throw the birds and then the different things that you have to knock over to, like, the domino effect. I mean, those type of little puzzle games, yeah, they can be really beneficial. I think also – when we're talking about some of the simulators and training and stuff like that, while they're not your traditional, necessarily your traditional video game, a lot of this research and what we're looking at now, the positives, that's just the next evolution. People have seen some of the positive benefits of the games and said, hey, how can we utilize these in more training? Tardot, I haven't forgot you, so I'll get you in here real quick.
Oh, it's all good. The only thing I really got to say real quick kind of hits on almost what everybody's been talking about, and it's kind of just talking about one genre, though, outside of shooters, and that's like your strictly online games, your MMORPGs. And I'm not going to go through what that stands for because I can't even remember all of it. But I used to play a lot of, when I was younger, EverQuest and, of course, World of Warcraft. And it really does. Like, the strategy is there because, for instance, in World of Warcraft, you get to a certain room and what they call a dungeon. You're going up against the boss. You've got to set up a strategy because each one acts in a different way. And then you also have to identify when those same bosses are doing certain things. So you're getting that, that like you're talking about the peripheral vision and everything else. You've got to notice when certain actions are starting to happen that you may not necessarily be focused on. And then, of course, multitasking, it gives gives them that ability. You might have a character in your group that's doing multiple different things, healing and doing some damage. So you got somebody that's doing multiple things, and they've got to think about both aspects and watch their team. So, there's games like those that kind of hit on everything. Plus, you get that team play aspect where, everybody's got to work together. They've got to know each other's strengths and each other's weaknesses, which can translate into the real world in almost any job where you've got to actually work with a team.
Right. Now, this next section here of a few we'll talk about kind of deals with the Brainiac portion of it, kind of deals with those strategy games and stuff a lot, too. Number 9 on the list is developing reading and math skills. It says the young gamer reads to get instructions, has to follow, storylines of games, get information from the game text. Using math skills is important in a lot of games. And involves quantitative analysis. Again, going back to stuff like managing resources. I guess how many health packs are you going to need for this particular level, and how much does a health pack restore your health? So if you get damaged so much, that sort of thing, maybe. 10 is perseverance. And it says that in higher levels of game, the player usually fails the first time around, but keeps on trying to succeed and move forward to the next level. 11 is pattern recognition, something that we talked about with Tetris and whatnot. So games have internal logic in them, and the player figures it out by recognizing those patterns. 12 is estimating skills, being able to estimate, what you need as far as resources maybe or something like that in a strategy game. It really doesn't go into that too heavy. 13.
Estimate how far into the game you're playing now before they come out with the next version of the game.
Right. Yeah, which is usually about 10 minutes in today's world. 13 is inductive reasoning and hypothesis testing. So basically trial and error. It says, for example, the gamer must constantly try out combinations of weapons and powers and tactics to use to defeat an enemy. If one does not work, he changes that hypothesis and tries the next one. 14 is mapping. It says that gamers use in-game maps or build maps, and that helps them with that type of a situation, being able to read and understand maps and things like that. 15 is memory. So it's playing first-person shooter games such as Call of Duty, Battlefield series, enables the player to effectively judge what information should be stored in working memory and what can be discarded considering the task at hand. And then 16 is concentration. So there's a study conducted by the Appalachia Educational Laboratory revealed that children with attention deficit disorder who played Dance Dance Revolution, for example, improve their reading scores by helping them with concentration. So, some Brainiac type stuff there. G, I'll go to you first this time.
I don't know, but like I say, I'm not much of a gamer, but I noticed what's conspicuously missing from this list is the possibility that aliens will come down and pick you as a starfighter in one of their jets.
Heck yeah, greetings, starfighter. Yeah. Exactly.
Ghost. Documentary, or if you're good enough, the aliens come down and take you as a starfighter.
I've seen that too. Yeah, that was on the History Channel, I think, or something. Ghost, you want to jump in here on the Brainiac portion?
I don't know if I want to follow.
The last starfighter reference?
Yeah, right. No, I think that when it comes to like reading and deductive reasoning and all that, yeah, I think that there's probably something to that. You know, and the funny thing about this whole conversation is, you know, everyone here in this room, and I don't know how old Drudge is, but people that are our age, we grew up differently. And so the people that are making the judgments on whether video games are good or bad grew up in a different time where most of us didn't play a whole lot of video games when we were younger. We were the ones outside playing sports or playing guns and cops and robbers and all that. So I think we also have to remember that the people that are judging video games didn't grow up with video games, so they don't have the knowledge of what it did for their livelihood and how their brain developed. So I think there's a lot of things that we could sit there and say, the deductive reasoning, like you said, the reading and quick thinking and all of that, there are a lot of these positives, but the people that are out there usually judging are the ones that don't have firsthand knowledge as to how growing up with video games might have helped their lives out as well.
Right. Drudge, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, Ghost makes a good point because I grew up in the 90s, born in 91. So I went from being outside every day to getting a video game and playing some outside, inside and then playing outside. And now when I get home, I usually just sit down and play all day because I work all day outside. But he does make a good point that the people, especially the lawmakers that want, they're pushing for all this stuff, have probably never touched a video game. As for the bullet points you went over, the biggest one that I can think of is developing reading and math skills. I know Pokemon has gotten a bad rep because of Go and the minority of people being stupid with it, but I know quite a few people, but that game taught them how to read just because it's all dialogue based. There's no voice acting. It's just you read everything. And Perseverance, today I was playing a Zelda game and I died about 20 times in an hour trying to get past a big bad guy, and I still haven't got past him. But
Did you try using the magic crystal?
I tried using a few, if you mean bomb arrows.
I'm just teasing.
No.
Tardot, who's up in here?
Yeah, you know, Drudge kind of hit on it. Certain games are going to help you out with, like, reading and different skills like that, but one that I hadn't been mentioned yet, one thing that does help you out with, you mentioned math. And if you look at a lot of games today, especially you know, little action adventure games, even some of the first person shooter and the action games, they are heavily using financial, you know, things into the game to where, you know, kids are learning a little bit about money and how to use it, and how to save it, and you know, hey, I need to get this item for my character so I can be stronger, so I need to save this money, but, you know, can I afford this right now? You know, they're learning to, you know, work around with their financials and actually save money for what they want and what they need. So, you know, there's a big aspect there that kind of gets missed a lot of times is, you know, everybody kind of complains that their kids just want to blow money, which most kids do. I know mine do. But, you know, there is that aspect to teach them how to be responsible to a point with money.
Yeah, that's a good point on that. Smeggy.
Yeah, I think most of the stuff in this this section is really related to the strategy games like Command and Conquer or actually even like the original Warcraft and stuff like that, like those building type things. Again, the math and all that, you do have to figure out, okay, this has a certain amount of time to build, and I can do three of these types and one of these types, or I could do one of the big tanks or something. Like you can kind of do like a cost analysis. Is it worth it to have 5,000 infantrymen or one giant tank? And then you multiply out what the damage per second is and like all the, now I got super nerdy when I was playing that kind of stuff, and that, so yeah, I definitely figured all that stuff out and try and get the most effective use of my resources. I'm trying to remember what some of the other ones were in this section, but I just remember as you were reading them, they all took me back to when I was playing Command and Conquer Red Alert. Mm-hmm. And it's like that, I think that game helped me quite a bit and all that.
Or any massively multiplayer online role-playing games, you've got enemies, that enemy's level, 34 and you're level 27. Well, then that's going to depend on the damage of your weapon. And if they're 30% immune to fire, then you got to have a weapon that deals more than 30% fire damage, And so yeah, there's a lot of brainiac stuff that goes into that. Gelsma.
Yeah. I got to step outside. So everybody's touched on really good topics and hitting kind of the bullet points like straight on. So I'm going to get a little off track. For one, the new generation has taken fanny packs and now called them belt bags. Two, if you were born in the 90s, you didn't live the 90s. And three, there is so many positives and negatives to video games that I think the attribute we need to look at is socialization. Mm-hmm. And not actually just the video games themselves. We need to see what the reaction of children to the actual video games that are coming out, and then kind of try to put that into how it reacts as a social aspect. Mm-hmm. I could go a little bit deeper, but I'll probably run for a couple hours. Right. So we might actually talk on this topic on Fish for Firearms on Friday. Cool. Just to touch it a little bit. But just an aspect of it is just make sure you know what your kids are doing. If you're out there and you're a little bit older and you got some kids, just know that the desensitization may be a positive or a negative thing. It may be a positive for them to zone out for 15 minutes to kind of dissect the information in their head. It's kind of like defragging your memory. As guys, we kind of do that. But there are so many positives and negatives to the video games. I don't think we can necessarily villainize them as we do a lot of firearms and other things of that aspect. Just because they look evil may not be they're actually evil. There may be actually some retrospect into it that might make them something that obtainably becomes a positive aspect to them. But anyway, I'll let you get back to it, Clover.
Yeah, no, I mean, totally agree. And I fall back onto what we said. We said last show, I've already said it this show, it's a moderation and knowing what your kids are doing and an issue like that too. With everything, you have your positives and your negatives. And by all means, I encourage when we bring up topics or we do anything, take them and run with them. Run with them on your own videos or your own shows or whatever and dissect them even more, because this is something that, each one of these bullet points could have its own hour show. It really could. Mohawk Boy out there.
Easily.
Makes a good point. He says he just worries that video games will be the end of true spontaneous, I'll get it right in a minute, imagination for many kids. And we talked about that on the negativities, and it's possible, but there's some video games out there that can also encourage that to an extent, especially some of the more text-based
or even like Minecraft was mentioned earlier. I remember playing Legos as a child, and the whole point of it was you buy the thing or you get the thing, you build what's on the box for like 2 seconds, and then you tear it apart and build something new.
Yeah, right.
And Minecraft is like that on the computer. You can build.
Yeah, that's basically Legos in the virtual world, right?
Exactly.
So, let's jump through these remaining points real quick because we're getting pretty close to an hour now, and I think we can cover the rest of these. Pretty much tend to revolve around, I don't know, social interactions, maybe things like that. Number 17, we sort of hit on it a little bit. It you know, when we're dealing with surgery and things like that, but it's improved ability to rapidly and accurately recognize visual information. And I think we've done hit on most of that. I'll just go over this to say a study from Beth Israel Medical Center found a direct link between skills at video gaming and skills at keyhole or laparoscopic surgery. Doctors who spent at least 3 hours a week playing video games made about 37% fewer mistakes in surgery and performed the task 27% faster than non-gaming surgeons. So that's an interesting little study they did. 18 gets back into reasoned judgments, which we've done kind of covered that a little bit too. Then we get into some of the more, like I said, maybe social things. 19 is taking risks. Says winning in any game involves a player's courage to take risks. Most games do not reward players who play it safe. 20 is how to respond to challenges, which we kind of got a hit on that a little bit with the perseverance thing up there. 21 is how to respond to frustrations. Again, kind of ties into the perseverance thing a little bit. 22 is how to explore and rethink goals. Which actually we did hit on to a little bit above. It was earlier, it was talking about, being able to, figure out if you needed a certain combination of weapons and skills and things like that in order to win. So, maybe that's why they don't elaborate too much more here. 23 is something that has been brought up and we do that a lot, with all of our friends here on gun channels and the YouTubes and in social media. Outside of the video game world, and that's teamwork and cooperation. So as many multiplayer games, such as Team Fortress 2, involve cooperation with other online players in order to win. These games encourage players to make the most of their individual skills to contribute to the team. Then 24 is management, and we've kind of covered that. This is just more of a broad sense that it's talking about here. And it goes into some of the strategy games such as Roller Coaster Tycoon, Zoo Tycoon, Ages of Empires, those type, what strategy type, I guess, games. And then 25, the final one here, is simulation of real world events, which we've hit on constantly through the conversation here. And it says the most well known, simulations are flight simulators, which have been around for years and attempt to mimic the reality of flying a plane. So all the controls, including airspeed, wind angles, and so on, are displayed for the player as well as the visual representation of the world. And it's all updated in real time. So, primarily the ones I think we should hit on probably here are, you know, how you deal with frustration, playing with others, and, you know, the social aspect of it. Let's start with Jelsma this run. You want to talk on that a minute?
Yeah, as somebody who really kind of spans the two generations in between having video games and not having video games, it's kind of hard because I find it a part of my childhood that it's like, yeah, you know, I had Nintendo and Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64 and all those things. But then in the same sense, it's like I wanted to play outside more and socialize more. So coming to an aspect of did it really involve my upbringing or anything like that, I've kind of actually been thinking on it since we started the show. And it really comes down to it's like I don't think that video games may necessarily be something that we can involve ourselves in to replace the real world. Mm-hmm. But in an aspect, like you said, somebody who's maybe wheelchair bound or in a hospital bed or some other disability, it may be some aspect that they allow them to experience something that they would no otherwise be able to experience, flight simulators or so on. So, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to really, I think, touch on the aspect of branching whether video games are the positive or negative. I'm kind of drawn like dead in the center, but when it comes down to it, I think a lot of it has to come to parenting style and some other things. But really, it's, you know, like I said, Clover, you might just have to roll to the next guy because I'm so on the fence with this.
Right. Smeggy, you want to jump in on that topic?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the social aspect of it, like I said, I had mentioned earlier in this podcast here where I had to deal with teams, and, you know, you said something about, like, how your individuals can help the team and all that. I mean, we had specific guys that, like, they were the uppers. We were the backup. Like, different people could scout ahead. Like, different people were better at certain parts of the game. And, you know, so we took it very seriously of, like I said, all the practice and whatnot. And that's probably even above what most people are going to do when they're playing games and whatnot. But either way, you do learn how to work as a team and what you can bring to the table. And the frustration part, I mean, we've all seen the meme or the whatever, the video going around where someone flips out and smashes their keyboard or punches the computer, this, that, or the other. And I would say that's definitely an example of an unhealthy way of dealing with your frustration. And I don't know if people have to go through that once and then get called out and say, dude, you're totally not supposed to do it that way. And then maybe they learn. Or is that just that person is not very well adjusted with frustration. And I don't know if video games would even help that or not. I mean, that might be a parenting or social issue type thing. But you do learn, hey, don't smash your computer because then, like, you're not allowed to play anymore.
I've seen my share of broken Nintendo controllers in the past. So the frustration is real for sure. Tardot, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I could definitely see where it could help kids, you know, maybe with not even just learning to deal with frustration from the video game, but just like we said before, it gives you that chance to just kind of unwind. You know, obviously we always say it, moderation, that's a big deal, but it gives them that opportunity to unwind. And then when we talk about the social aspect, there are some games out there that really drive the social aspect. You know, you're obviously not getting that face-to-face interaction. And kind of like Gelsma said, I came up in that generation where we were half in, half out. And so, you know, we're torn between what to say about which side of it because we've lived both and loved both. So right. It's a hard thing to say. But, you know, a good point of view on, like, the social aspect and an all-around somewhat encompassing game with a lot of these aspects, there's one called EVE Online that is a space simulator. You're in a spaceship and all this other stuff, and it's another one of those MMORPGs, and you're playing with millions of people. But it is so intricate that they actually have a economy that follows similar to what's happening in the real world. And there's actually the possibility of crashing the whole game's economy if you screw stuff up. So it also gives them that aspect of, you know, right and wrong in the sense of, you know, whoa, did I actually screw something up here? You see a change in the world because of something possibly just you did.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, I think that when we're looking at the frustration aspect of it too, I mean, you know, everybody needs an outlet for their frustrations. I mean, in the sense of dealing with frustrations, video games can be a way to deal with maybe frustrations that you're experiencing in real life. And it's that downtime that's been talked about, that time to unwind. Judge, bring you in here real quick. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was looking at the chat. So I thought about this and a while ago and never got to mention it. So I mentioned Pokemon Go a while ago, and that actually this past Saturday, there's a community event, so I was out playing, walking around the city, and I met up with people I've never met, and we were all walking around and catching Pokemon and helping each other out. I mean, that's a huge aspect of it, getting to, making friends with people that we've never met otherwise and helping people out. I know that a lot of people kind of, and it discredits the people that are against video games for me when they say stuff like this. You know, you get these kids walking around playing this game. Well, they one moment they say they should be walking, they should be outside, and the next minute they're saying that they don't need to be outside playing a video game. You know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it's almost like they want to have their cake and eat it too, right?
Yeah, they just want to be against video games no matter what form they take, which I'm not saying any of y'all are like that, but
only G-Webs. I think only G-Webs is
Well, and when you look at it, you've got to really just look at every generation ever. The generation to maybe even two generations before, never, if you look at what's said, what's done, how people dress, how they act, what they interact with, no generation ever understands the generations to come. There's always some complaints about what they're doing or how they're acting or how they're dressing or what they're playing. You know, that's the whole aspect of it. There's no understanding. That's why they always talk about the generational gap. There's always that gap there between understanding of, you know, how each generation and interacts with each other.
Right. Ghost, jump in here.
Yeah, I've got a couple quick points if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first one, I want to take a different one and say, you're talking about being task-oriented and the competitiveness of it. And I think that where video games might help some of the society is, you know, we live in a world and a society of participation trophies, where everyone who's playing sports gets a trophy, whether they come in first or last. And I would say that for the people that grow up in that society of sports, that are everyone's getting a T-shirt, everyone's getting a gold star sticker and all that, the video game has potential to create that competitive side in a kid that youth sports may be lacking in now. Because everyone says, well, you should be out there playing sports and being outside. Well, what are we teaching our kids by playing sports? That everyone's equal no matter if you win or lose. They don't learn the value of winning. But in video games, you have to be competitive if you try to win these games. So I think it does create that. On the second side of kind of what Tardot was saying is a generational gap. I think, you know, I would love to be there back in the 40s and early 50s when the TV first came out. How many people were criticizing the TV because that changed society and people were watching TV instead of being outside? So I think there's always arguments. Every generation has their thing that distracts them from everyday life, whether it's TV or radio or CDs or whatever. And I think this generation's thing is just a video game.
Yeah, that's a good point. Can you imagine, you know, we've talked about this before, I think, on past shows when we were talking about kids and the structure and all this and about having the family meals around the family dinner table. Can you imagine the dynamic? And I remember, what is it, Back to the Future, that they wheeled the TV over to the dinner table? Exactly. Or the generation of TV trays? And, you know, how that kind of pulled away from that family dynamic. And I'm sure there was people that was against that, totally against that. And that was causing problems. And that was what was wrong with the world. And, you know, TVs were demonized. G, we'll finish out this with G. What you got any comments on that particular portion of this?
Again, that was a long time ago now, so I'm not remembering those portions. But I got to close out with positive that everybody's playing these video games, right? So I guess, like you guys were saying, that's just this generation's or whatever generation it is thing. Mm-hmm. That's fine. So, and if it was a problem, we'd know it, right? There's everybody plays them pretty much. Right. So I would think that it's also, I don't know if anybody's touched on it. They didn't touch on it in those points, I don't think, that it's a common, what do you call that? Like it's a common part of the community or part of the generation. Like, you guys can all talk about, you know, it's a shorthand, like, oh, this, you know, some complicated concept you're trying to get across. It's like the stage in Donkey Kong, or, you know, real quickly, everybody's familiar with it. So you know, it aids in, there's a word for that concept.
Like the zeitgeist, the cultural zeitgeist.
yeah, it's a cultural thing. Everybody kind of knows it, and it's creating that. So, you know, that's got to be a positive. Like I say, you guys, I listen to you guys do your nerd stuff, and just like movies or anything else, you know, most of you have played a certain amount of these video games, so you understand things from them.
Right.
But I also noticed that, especially now, but at one point you were at 100%, so I think that gets you a power up, doesn't it?
Power up, yeah. There we go. That's a good one. Awesome. Very awesome. So that is that's it. We didn't run too terribly long. I was kind of scared this was going to be like a 2-hour stream with what went on last week, and with last week added, then we definitely are over a 2-hour stream. But that's okay. I think we covered some good points. And again, I mean, take this and further the conversation. I mean, feel free. I'm not going to feel like you're stealing my topics or ideas or anything, because ultimately it is all about the conversation. So let's run this back through the room one last time. Let everybody on the panel get out their self-promotion and plugs or final thoughts or whatever they need to say. Tardot, what you got, bud?
Don't have a whole lot. Same as usual. Make sure y'all follow me on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and all those good places like that. Of course, Gun Channels, the most important of them all. And, you know, on everything else, I'm Tardot357 on Gun Channels. It's Tardot Productions. That's where you're going to find the live streams for Clearing the Chamber on Saturday. It'll be on both YouTube and Gun Channels, but I highly recommend Gun Channels for the chat. And, of course, me and Gunpowder Beauty are also back and forth between those. And, of course, check out www.tardotproductions.com for our blogs and, of course, our gear, shirts, stuff like that. And that's all I got.
I'm going to jump in here just for a second. Dead Horse threw one out of left field there over on the Gun Channel side. So I'll go back to Tar with this, and in your final thoughts, if you want to address this, you can. He's asking, best thing you have ever got from a video game, valuable lesson that one has taught you. So I guess he's looking for, you know, best thing you've ever learned from a video game. Have you got anything, Tar?
Not really. I mean, I can't think of anything offhand. I'm sure there's something that has come out of the right. games I've played heavily. Now, I'll say this much. There have been some friendships that have lasted through, because I played a lot of MMORPGs when I was late in high school, coming out of high school. And I've got friendships that, you know, I still keep in touch with those people that I played with, because we all lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so, yeah, that's probably the biggest thing that was a positive that came out of it.
Right. Smeggy, we'll throw it over to you now. What you got in closing?
All right. Well, first I'll address Dead Horse's thing. The best thing I ever got because of video games was a oversized heat sink for a Pentium, but I had an AMD processor, so I sold it to a kid before I even sat back down. So that was pretty neat. He got a deal on. He got it 50% off. I got, you know, $80 in my pocket or whatever. So that was pretty cool.
Some of the people in the audience just went, "What is he talking about?"
Yeah, he's like, "Huh?"
He went, totally. "Yeah, I'm a nerd, whatever."
Never go full nerd, man. Come on.
I got a part to a computer that was worth a bunch of money, and I sold it for half off because it was worthless to me.
There you go.
One of the things I wanted to touch in closing remarks, I thought of it when someone else was talking, and then I wanted to jump in, is going back kind of the social thing, kind of like this last point. There's something you can learn from video games is ethics. Because something might not be against the law, it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And we talk about this all the time with, like, you know, YouTube. They're allowed to shut channels down. They're technically allowed to. Like, they're a private company, whatever. It's not against the law. It's just a jerk move to do. And the same thing with video games. It's not against the rules to hide behind a box or whatever, but people call it camping. You know what I mean? It's like there's a social aspect, and you kind of learn that type of stuff, that public, you know, outcry, or when people start making fun of you for doing it, you either stop doing it or, you know, you quit and join a different game or whatever. Like, that's it teaches you that, oh, there's stuff that's in the rules, but it's kind of a jerk thing to do. Maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. And you're gonna have to deal with the fallout if you do.
Right, exactly. And if you're okay with that, you know, and you just ignore the people and that they're making fun of you, then okay, because you have a high score. So it's obviously working. It's just people, it's frowned upon. And then as far as promotion, I'm Smeggy42 everywhere. you know, Gun Channel's Instagram, YouTube. Check me out. I do stuff late night. Also part of the Daily Gun Show every night at midnight.
Sweet. Chelsma.
Yeah, to answer Dead Horse's question, I learned how to drift from video games. So thank you very much, Forza. Other than that, you guys, we're at JelsmaOutdoors.com. Then all the proceeds go to the Starving Husbands of the Jelsma Household Fund. So remember that when you're buying your T-shirts. And other than that, check us out on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook.
And that's a subsidiary of the Jelsma Babies Need Shoes, right?
Well, I mean, he is barefoot, but, I mean, we live in Southeast Texas, so that's like a norm.
Right, yeah, sure. Yeah. Gee, what you got, buddy?
Everybody that went to Tulsa, we're going to be doing the first of a few meetups like we were talking about tomorrow, right, at 4 p.m. my time, so at 7 p.m. Eastern. And I realize that there's no perfect time, but whoever can make it then, we have a channel now called Wanamaker over on Gun Channels, and we'll send out invites, and we'll do a series of those so that everybody can participate, and we'll kind of do the after action like we were saying, talk about, you know, what we did and what kind of stuff we have coming up and if we can help each other and share some resources, and hopefully it'll be entertaining for people that didn't get to go, but then also useful for all those of us that did get to go so that we can get our stuff together, get coordinated, and figure how to, you know, go forward.
And that'll be on gear websites, G?
Gun Channels / Wanamaker, but yeah, the YouTube channel will be your one, and whoever wants in, we'll just send links out on Gun Channels.
Okay, gotcha. Are we going to do the bingo?
Yeah, I think that'd be a great idea.
Sweet. Because that was fun. I enjoyed that from SHOT Show. Ghost.
To answer Dead Horse's question, the one thing that I've learned from playing video games is we do not have unlimited lives in real life, and we do not have unlimited ammo in real life. So, you know, you learn those two things that, you know, and all that. But as far as everything else, no. Thanks for having me, and it was great being on the show. Thank you.
And we do not have reset buttons as well. So.
That's true.
and finally, Drudge.
To answer the question, the biggest thing video games have taught me is just to take inventory of everything around you. Don't just rush into things. As for my plugs, I don't have a YouTube channel, but I work for Coke, so buy Coca-Cola products.
There you go. I'm drinking a Pepsi right now, unfortunately, but only because it was on sale. So tell your bosses to put Coke on sale. Just saying.
Well, we have
Nabisco.
We had it at Kroger for pretty cheap, and around here, if you buy Dr. Pepper, it's the same as Coke. So
yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. So yeah, with that, I want to mention After Hours tomorrow night. That's 11 Eastern, and couple of things we're going to talk about is how we can potentially get together and cross promote with a group of creators and see what we might be able to do with that, particularly because from Ghost Chat earlier and then some other chat that's been going on, we've got the rise of the installation now of several different platforms that's out there, YouTube, UBE-tube, and what was the other, GunStreamer, and then obviously GunTube. So, but, you know, we've got to get the word out that all of these different creators are all on all of these other platforms, be it those or Vimeo or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or even Reddit or wherever. And, you know, just us self-promoting may not be the best way to do that. There may be maybe other avenues that we can actually help each other out along the way, sort of like what we were talking about with learning how to work together with the video game. So I invite everybody to check that out. That's After Hours, where we get After Hours HBO thing. No, that's a Clover Tag thing, man. So After Hours happens every Thursday, 11 Eastern. So that is the show where we talk nerdy. With that, I think Mr. Matt fired up about 20 minutes ago or so. So jump over there, check his stuff out if you're still wanting some content. We are gone for now. We will see you tomorrow night. Bye.